Pues en el programa no estás como en una clase típica cogiendo apuntes, escribiendo, lo trabajas hablando. Y eso es muy complicado, porque coger una frase y de repente tener que hacerla en interrogativa, en negativa, cuando no lo tienes delante, ayuda a que la agilidad verbal y tu capacidad también con el idioma sea cada vez mayor, porque es un reto.
Una de las partes que más me gustó del programa fueron las presentaciones a las que me tenía que enfrentar prácticamente cada semana. Otra de las cosas que más me gustó del máster fueron los dos Bound Town a los que asistí, porque esas experiencias eran siempre inolvidables y es una manera de darle un empujón importante al inglés.
Ya lo has oído, apúntate al máster de inglés profesional, ahora por videoconferencia. La misma calidad e intensidad, pero sin perder tiempo en desplazamientos. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate.
Casi un año de pandemia, de malas noticias y de inseguridad. Casi un año sin poder disfrutar de los nuestros. Casi un año esperando una vacuna. Y mientras tanto, en Laboratorios LifeLength seguimos dándote el resultado de tu prueba PCR en el mismo día, como llevamos haciendo casi un año. Reserva ya tu cita online en citacovid.com.
Time for another edition of the Drive Time Show. Today, some business vocabulary from the world of marketing. Well, actually, just general business and economics vocabulary, I should say. That's what we'll get into. Also, Texas is suffering power outages. The power is on, the power is out. The power is on, the power is off. We sometimes say it's out, and this is called a power outage. So we'll talk about why blackouts have hit across Texas as temperatures drop. Very cold in Texas. Lots of people without power. Also, by request, I'll answer a bunch of questions from listeners as always, como siempre. We've got some music to listen to today, as always, as well. We're going to hear history. We're going to practice grammar, pronunciation. Oh, my gosh, what a show. Very complete. Lots to talk about. So let's get it started. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller.
Welcome to the Drive Time Show, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for deciding to invest a little time with me today, with us, and with your English this afternoon. We do have a lot to talk about on the show. And we're going to begin, though, the way we always do. People always tell me that they like this section, so I want to continue doing it as we get warmed up in the warm-up gym.
The warm-up gym.
All right, folks, welcome to the warm-up gym. We're going to start with a few sentences of translation, the way we always do, and then we're going to get into lots of other things right away. But first, a few sentences. We're going to practice with the verb to get a little bit. The first five sentences with the verb to get, okay? No te pongas triste. Don't get sad. Don't get sad. No te pongas triste. Don't get sad. No te cases. Don't get married. Don't get married. Nos llevamos bien. We get along. Claro, nos llevamos bien. We get along. Llevarse bien con alguien, to get along with someone. Or we can say as well, to get along well. We get along great. Nos llevamos bien. We get along or we get along well. Llegué de regreso anoche. I got back last night. Llegué de regreso anoche. I got back last night. No te emociones. Don't get excited. Hey, dude, come on, don't get excited now. No te emociones, don't get excited. No dejes que ello te deprima. Don't let it get you down. Don't let it get you down. So if something causes you to get depressed, we could say it gets you down. Don't let it get you down. Like the song, don't get you down. That was Don't Let Me Down. Who's that? Electric Light Orchestra, ELO. Don't let me down. Which is decepcionar. To let someone down is decepcionar a alguien. But here, don't get sad. Don't get down. Okay. El fumar es malo para la salud. Smoking is bad for your health. The other day I talked about gerunds and infinitives. And the interesting thing with the gerund really being, it is a noun, right? We call it a gerund noun. So el fumar, que es sustantivo aquí, el fumar, the act of smoking, is bad for your health. Okay. Lo vi cuando hacía mis compras de Navidad. I saw it when I was doing my Christmas shopping. Cuando hacía. When I was. I saw it when I was doing my Christmas shopping. No me importa ir allí en tu lugar. I don't mind going there in your place. I don't mind going there in your place. En tu lugar. No, I don't mind going there in your place. Disfruto hablando con ellos. I enjoy talking with them. I enjoy talking with them. So remember... Remember, I explained this before, a few days ago. Enjoy plus ing, always. Enjoy is followed by the ing. To like can be followed by the ing or the gerund. Okay, so it can be, the ing is the gerund. The gerund or the infinitive. I like to go to the beach. I like going to the beach. This idea of I like plus ing is kind of more like disfruto, haciendo lo que sea. Okay? Se me ha ocurrido una manera de resolverlo. I've thought of a way to solve it. I've thought of a way to solve it. I've thought of a way to solve it. Okay, there you go. I think we're all warmed up by now. I think we're all warmed up and we're ready to move on. We do have a lot to talk about on today's Drive Time show. Like, make, do, go, come, take, bring.
What's the difference?
All right, everybody, it's time for today's What's the Difference? ¿Cuál es la diferencia? What's the difference? And today I want to practice with can and to be able to. Now, really, they're very similar in the present. I can play the guitar. I am able to play the guitar. It's kind of like saying, puedo tocar la guitarra y estoy capaz de, to be able to be, yeah, capaz de, to be able to do something, capable of doing something, is very similar to be able to. Puedo hablar inglés, I can speak English. No puedo correr 100 metros en 10 segundos. I can't run 10 meters in 10 seconds. I can play the guitar, but I can't play the guitar like Eric Clapton. I can fight, but I can't fight like Mike Tyson. I can run, but I can't run like Usain Bolt. I'm not able to. We can also say, so when we talk about circumstances allowing us to do something, this is when we could say, well, to be able to. I was able, especially in the past, I was able to. So here, I can and I am able to. In the past, last week, I could or I was able to. La semana pasada, pude estudiar mucho. Last week, I was able to study a lot. I could, last week, if you say, okay, last week I could study a lot. But really, when you say that when you say that you were capable of doing it and you did it, that's when we tend to use I was able to instead of could. Could is more common in a second conditional. Right? If I practiced more, I could speak better English. I could speak better French if I studied. But here, last week, I was able to study a lot. Pude estudiar mucho. So it sounds like I did study a lot. I studied a lot because I was able to. I could. Okay? Pudieron conseguir entradas para el concierto en primera fila. They were able to get front row seats for the concert. They were able to get front row seats for the concert. ¿Pudiste ver el escenario? Were you able to see the stage? Right? Now, if you say, could you see the stage? It's very similar. We're really splitting hairs, okay, sometimes with could. And were you able to? Could you see the stage? Were you able to see the stage? Yeah. Essentially the same, okay? Those are the same. Let's say they're essentially the same. But sometimes this idea of I was able to kind of implies more that you did it. The circumstances allowed you and you did it. Okay? Now we also have the have you been able to? Because we don't say, nunca dice, have you could. Ya has podido. Ya has podido hablar con ella. Have you been able to speak to her yet? Ya has podido. Have you been able to speak to her yet? No he podido estudiar mucho últimamente. I haven't been able to study much lately. I haven't been able to study much lately. Now, again, you could say, I couldn't study. But here, últimamente, present perfect, I haven't been able to. I haven't been able to study much lately. Él no ha podido terminar su discurso todavía. He hasn't been able to finish his speech yet. He hasn't been able to finish his speech yet. He podido hacer mucho trabajo esta mañana. I've been able to do a lot of work this morning. I've been able to do a lot of work this morning. Me temo que no podré ir a la reunión. I'm afraid I won't be able to go to the meeting. Me temo que. I'm afraid. Lo siento, pero es así. Me temo que. I'm afraid I won't be able to. So in this case, we have to use to be able to. There is no will can. Eso no existe. Will you can? No. Will you be able to? Right? Podré ayudar a los preparativos de la fiesta, si quieres. I'll be able to help you get things ready for the party, if you'd like. Or if you like. Right? Podrás venir. Will you be able to come? So, will you can? No. Will you be able to? Podrás. Will you be able to? ¿Sabes si ella podrá explicármelo? Oye, ¿sabes si ella podrá explicármelo? Do you know if she will be able to explain it to me? Do you know if she'll be able to explain it to me? She'll be able to explain it to me? Él no durará mucho. No podrá aguantar la presión. He won't last long. He won't be able to stand the pressure. He won't be able to. He won't be able to stand the pressure. Okay, there you go. Muy bien. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the future, everybody. It's time to talk about the future. Good idea, right? Okay. I want to talk about when, the word when in the future, because a common mistake, es un error bastante típico que oigo, cuando la gente dice, when I will retire. Cuando me jubile, pero eso no se dice, when I will, no, nunca. When I will, never. When I retire, I will. Right? So, think of it like a conditional. Imagine changing the word when to if. If I retire, I'll go fishing every day. When I retire, I'll go fishing every day. Right? The if and the will don't go on the same side, and it's the same with the word when and will. They do not go on the same side of this, of the comma in this sentence, all right? Cuando ella llegue, estará cansada. When she arrives, she'll be tired. Cuando tenga 50 años, estaré más gordo que ahora. When I'm 40, I'll be fatter than I am now, probably. Cuando empiecen, me avisarás. When they start, will you let me know? Will you let me know? Cuando deje de llover, ¿vendrás a dar un paseo? When it stops raining, will you come out for a walk? When it stops raining, will you come out for a walk? Okay? So it's also important to remember that after when, we use the present simple, right? So, and we can invert this sentence too. So imagine, when I retire, I will go fishing every day. I'll go fishing every day when I retire. Te lo diré cuando te necesite. I'll tell you when I need you. Or logically, when I need you, I'll tell you. Ella te echará una mano cuando pueda. She'll give you a hand when she can. Será demasiado tarde cuando tengas 50 años. It'll be too late when you're 50. It's never too late, though. Bajaré cuando termine. I'll come down when I finish. Now, the opposite, the inversion. When I finish, I'll come down. Mm-hmm. Maullará cuando tenga hambre. I hope I pronounced that right. Maullará. He'll meow.
Meow, meow.
Un gato, right, a cat. He'll meow when he's hungry. Meow. I used to have a cat when I was a kid. We adopted a cat. We called it Miss Mew. Mew, which is kind of, we typically say meow for the sound.
Meow, meow.
Or, but Mew is kind of a, I don't know, that's just what we called it, Miss Mew. And Miss Mew loved eating chicken. She was a neighborhood cat. She was an adopted cat that just lived in the neighborhood. And one day, well, we started feeding it. Her. We started feeding her. And so she came every day because we were giving her food. And when it got cold, we realized that she was still outside. And whoever owned her wasn't bringing her inside in the winter. And it was very cold. It was like maybe 5 degrees, 10 degrees below zero. So we brought the cat into the house. And we heat the house with a wood stove. So the cat spent the night very comfortably sleeping in front of the wood stove, the fireplace, a chimenea. And then the next night, it was also cold. In the morning, you know, we fed the cat and we put the cat outside. But then the following day, well, it was dark again and it was cold again. And it was starting to snow, so I went to the door, and sure enough, Miss Mew was at the door. Oh, it's Miss Mew. We better let her in again. So on cold nights, we started to let the cat into the house. And after a while, it just came normal that the cat was in the house. And it essentially became our cat. And we found out who the official owner was, but the owner said, look, if you want to keep the cat in your house or have the cat there, go ahead. Great. So we started buying cat food, and we basically adopted this cat. It was a neighborhood cat, but it was really more ours than anything else. And she lived with us and stayed in our house. And but a cat that was also very capable of being outside. We had, you know, a lot of space. Yards, we call them, you know, where there's a lot of space. There's you say el jardín. We don't say the garden. We say the backyard, the front yard and the backyard. For me, the garden, a garden for me is intentionally cultivated for flowers, a flower garden, or you could have a herb garden. My father has a vegetable garden. If someone says, Kyle, where's your father? Oh, he's in the garden. That means he's out there caring for his tomato plants or his beans or whatever he's growing in there. But he's not en el jardín en el sentido, like sitting on the grass. No. So it's almost like the garden is more like huerto for me. A vegetable garden, un huerto, right? So anyway, I remember days when there'd be a lot of snow, and I'd open the window, and if we let the cat out to get air or whatever, because it lived outside as well, in and out, I remember opening up the door and the cat being in, like, you know, 30 centimeters of snow, right here, meow, meow, and the cat would come in. I'd give her some chicken, and she'd fall asleep by the fire. And she was a great cat, very well behaved. Right? Se comportaba muy bien. Se comportaba bien. She behaved very well, or she was very well behaved. Anyway, the grammar we were talking about, folks, is when in the future. So maybe when I stop moving around, I'll get a cat again. or when I know I'm not going to travel so much, I'll get a cat again. But we never say when I will, okay? Eso no se dice. All right, folks, it is time for a short break. A quick one, but I'll be back in a few minutes with plenty more of the Drive Time Show. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura tres meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughn. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class, and the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughn teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at grupovaughan.com.
Nuestro curso online es único por una sencilla razón. Nuestros profesores son los mejores del mercado. Richard Vaughan, Ximena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso, Richard Brown. Nuestros All Stars desde cualquier lugar. Por menos de 30 céntimos al día. Quédate en casa y aprovecha para poner en forma tu inglés. Entra en la web cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com e infórmate. Pruébalo durante 2 semanas y si no te gusta, te devolvemos el dinero. cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com, porque hay muchos, pero solo uno de Vaughan. Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Esta es tu radio. Una radio diferente, divertida, donde informarte para descubrir, aprender. Una radio única, como tú. Somos los de Vaughan. Esto es Vaughan Radio.
Lo que que más miedo le da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso, Bowen ha desarrollado sus clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Bowen 100%.
Infórmate en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid 91133-5833.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher.
Hello, this is Fitz of No Excuses. Do you know the English expression, you never know until you try? Well, with video conference classes, you never know until you try. Many people will say, no, no, it can't work. It can and it does. You never know until you try. Vaughan Video Conference Classes.
Contact us now for a free level test and get started on your trimestrales right away. Your English adventure awaits. Trimestrales de Vaughan.
Aprovecha el tiempo en esta nueva normalidad y resuelve tu viejo problema con el inglés de manera definitiva. Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional, ahora en modalidad de videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com. Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan.
Remember to follow us on social media to get all the latest information on all our offers and special deals.
You're listening to The Drive Time Show with Kyle Miller.
You're listening to the Drive Time Show here on Vaughan Radio. My name is Kyle Miller and Tony Iommi. It is the birthday of Tony Iommi, guitarist with the English rock band Black Sabbath, who had the 1970 UK number 4 single Paranoid. Now, the band's self-titled album was voted as the best British rock album ever in 2005 by Kerrang! Magazine, and at the age of 17 and on his last day of work in a sheet metal factory, Tony lost the tips of his middle and ring finger on his right hand. And after trying to learn to play right-handed, Iommi instead strung his guitars with lighter strings and made little thimbles to extend his fingers. And that's him playing guitar on this one. Of course, Black Sabbath with Tony Iommi and the great Ozzy Osbourne. And this is the song Paranoid. This is that song. It went to number 4 in the UK, only reached number 61 in the United States. And as the title suggests, it's about a man who is paranoid. Now, this driving guitar on the song and the bass create a very nervous energy. It go along well with Ozzy Osbourne's desperate vocals, let's say. Now, the bassist of Black Sabbath is Geezer Butler, and he wrote the lyrics. And he explains that the song, he said, it's basically just about depression, because I don't really know the difference between depression and paranoia. He says it's a drug thing. When you're smoking a joint, you get paranoid about people. You can't relate to people. There's a crossover between the paranoia you get and the depression you can feel afterwards. That's a very sad, prognosis, I guess. But yeah, he also said that a lot of this album was written around the time of their first album, the Black Sabbath self-titled album, and they recorded the whole thing in about 2 or 3 days, live in the studio. And this song was written as an afterthought. He said after it was all done, we needed a 3-minute filler for the album, and Tony came up with the riff. I quickly did the lyrics, and Ozzy was reading them as he was singing. So this was the title track to this album, the second Black Sabbath album. The band wanted to call the album Pig Wars after another song in the set, but the record company made them use Paranoid instead because it was less offensive. Now, the word paranoid actually never appears in the song, so there's no real logic in the title amongst the lyrics. But they waited 2 years before releasing another single, the song Iron Man. You might know that one. I am Iron Man. Classic song there. They didn't want to become a singles band. They wanted to wait and put things out sort of at a slower pace. They didn't want to be just known as singles, a singles band. They wanted to be known as having great full albums. So there you go. And Tony, another fact, Tony Iommi, whose birthday it is today, he recorded this song with a black eye after they had gotten into a fight with a bunch of punks, some street punks, I guess, a couple days before going into the studio to record this one. There you go, a few interesting facts about this song. Kind of a hard rock, classic hard rock song going back to the 70s. 1970, in fact, the album Paranoid and the song of the same name. All right, let's have a look at some vocabulary. Vocabulary today. Let's talk about business. You know I love business. And I wanted to talk a little bit about some words that you should know if you work in business. Okay, una marca. ¿Qué es una marca? Well, a brand. A brand. It's important to have a good brand, right? The brand, a brand can be an asset in itself, right? Brand recognition and goodwill, right? Goodwill, which is associated with a brand, which provides value. And it's even accounted for. You know, the goodwill of a company or the value of a brand can be considered an asset on a company's balance sheet. Impactos de la publicidad. We call this advertising exposures. Advertising exposures. There's impactos. You could say, I guess, the impact of advertising or the advertising exposures. Servicio postventa. After sales service. Yeah. After sales service. Análisis de riesgo. Now, we don't say analysis of risk. No, we say risk analysis. Risk. Risk analysis. Intermediario. We call this a middleman. The middleman. Middleman. El intermediario. So it's, I've never heard anyone say middle person. No, it's always the man. It's always middleman. Ganga, chollo. Bargain. We say bargain, bargain. Yeah, I'm good at finding bargains. I like to find bargains. Bienes de consumo. Consumer goods. Consumer goods. Yeah, so things that people buy to, you know, physical products that people buy, consumer goods. Campaña de venta. This is a sales campaign. Sales campaign. Reintegro en metálico. Cash rebate. Rebajas por liquidación. Clearance sale. Un trato. Deal. Let's make a deal. Ding, ding, ding. We've got a deal, everybody. It's a good deal. A good bargain. A good deal. Pero un trato. Like Donald Trump had a book called The Art of the Deal. El arte del trato. Yes. Estrategia de publicidad. Advertising strategy. Venta cara a cara. Face-to-face selling. De cara a cara. Face-to-face. Face-to-face selling. Trabajador por cuenta propia. Freelance. You're freelance, you're like a, bueno, un autónomo, ¿no? Freelance worker. You're self-employed or you're freelance. Un descuento, a discount. And we say, would you give me a discount? To give. To give someone a discount or to get a discount. Okay? So there we go. These are basic words for accounting, for business. Well, for more so for economics and business. And I love reading about economics. I'm actually reading a book right now called Basic Economics. Now, I've read a lot of economics books. I have a degree in finance. Yes, people think, oh, Kyle must have a degree in English. But no, mi carrera is my degree. By the way, carrera is your degree. What, if you study something in university, you can get a university degree. A career is your field of work. Okay? So I have a degree in finance. And I've studied a lot of advanced economics, but there's a great book that I'm reading now. It's simply called Basic Economics. And it is fairly basic. I guess the name is, it's kind of like essential concepts, but it explains things very well. It's not full of equations. It's full of concepts and talking about primarily macroeconomic issues. So things related to prices, related to the free market, taxation, wages, things like that. And maybe I'm a bit of un friki de economía, but I love reading books about economics. I do find it fascinating. Anyway, maybe you don't, but I don't know. I think at least for work, if you want to do business in English, if you want to be professional in English, that it's good to have some notion of basic economics. I also think it's very important to have a notion of how investment markets work. Stock market, la bolsa. I'm not here to tell people to invest in the stock market, but I think it's very good to gain an understanding of how it works. And something I find strange is that people in North America, like in Canada and in the U.S., it's very common for people to invest in the stock market. And I think in Spain, it's not so common. And in a lot of other, in Europe, it is much less common for average people to be involved in the stock market. But anyway, I think it's something that's certainly worth learning about. I'll put it that way. Maybe someday I'll get into my thoughts on that, but not today. Let's have a look. Let's move on, everybody. It's time to push forward with today's awesome adjective.
A, amazing.
B,
beautiful.
C,
cheap.
D,
dirty.
E,
expensive.
F,
friendly.
G,
good.
H,
happy.
I,
interesting.
J,
jealous.
Awesome adjectives.
All right, friends, it's time for our awesome adjective. Today is fastidious. Ooh, fastidious. If someone is fastidious, it basically means they're very demanding. Es como exigente. They're very demanding, but really demanding. They're fastidious. They're very particular. Particular in what they like. So if you are, for example, if you are offering a service to the queen, she may or may not, I don't know the queen, but maybe she's very fastidious about the things that she, I suppose the things that she eats and the things that she wears and the treatment that she receives. I know, for example, Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones, apparently he's very fastidious about things when he's on tour, about certain types of food that he has to have access to. He's fastidious about exercise. He has a strict exercise routine and he likes to keep it up no matter where he is, right? Independent of where he is. He's fastidious about that. He's very selective, particular, and demanding, let's say. Very particular, very demanding, very, yes, particular, if you know what that, if you know what I mean, if you understand that. About the way things have to be. I've also heard that the Rolling Stones have a dressing room that is like a trailer or a room that they travel with that is always set up the same. So they'll have the same flowers in the same place on the, actually the same table and the same arrangement so that before a concert, they can relax in a room that always looks the same. So they're not going into the, you know, backstage of a club. They are, instead they're going to, a room that they're comfortable with that they're accustomed to, that they're used to. Okay. So there you have it. Fastidious. They're very fastidious. It's almost like saying picky. Oh, he's very picky. He's picky about, picky is like a common sort of street common way of saying fastidious. Oh, he's really picky about that. He's very demanding. Now, someone can be a picky eater, P-I-C-K-Y, or P-I-C-K-E-Y, picky, picky eater. I think it has an E. Does it have an E? Picky, picky. No, I guess it's just the Y, P-I-C-K-Y, picky. So, picky, we often use with eating. Oh, he's a very picky eater, right? He's very selective with what he eats and very demanding to eat only particular things. But fastidious is kind of a fancier or more formal way of conveying a very similar idea.
Trending topics.
Lights have gone out in a lot of parts of Texas. Yeah, they call them blackouts. And blackouts have hit as temperatures have dropped across Texas. And some people are, I guess, inaccurately blaming solar and wind power or problems with those resources for the massive outages. But yes, a huge winter storm in Texas. Now, huge by Texas standards. In Canada, now I'm sitting here in Canada, we're used to these storms. So it wouldn't be such a big deal here. But in Texas, a winter storm bringing low temperatures and snow across the state over the last few days. And millions of Texans are without power as I speak. And some people have questioned why a state that produces the most power in the United States is unable to keep the lights on. Now, misinformation about the blackouts has also started to spread, falsely putting the blame on wind and solar energy. Now, about 3 million in Texas apparently have had to deal with outages since Monday, as power generators and natural gas pipes froze, crippling the state's production capabilities. Now, this led the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, which manages the state's power grid, to administer rolling blackouts to avoid a grid failure. So they intentionally shut off the power. They call it a rolling blackout. So they intentionally turn off the power in certain areas to preserve the entire grid, so to preserve the rest of it. So they're basically saving power. They're rationing electricity across this grid, la red, essentially. So what happened to start all this? Well, this past weekend, a winter storm made its way to Texas, bringing freezing rain and cold weather to the states. And these temperatures, as they dropped down well below zero on Monday, power generators across the state started to freeze, and they went offline, leading to a significant decrease in energy production. At the same time, power demand increased as people turned up the thermostat. So these power producing facilities, basically they were too cold to operate, so less power was available and more power was in demand. About 50% of the power generated by Texas comes from natural gas, and the other half comes from coal, wind, nuclear, and solar. But because of the cold, the gas can't make its way from the ground through the pipes. Apparently 1 megawatt is enough to power about 200 homes in a year. And on Wednesday, about 46,000 megawatts were offline. There are 80 or 70 to 80 power plants that were offline on Wednesday across the state. So they're struggling with this. They're struggling with big outages of electricity. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of the storm we had about a month ago in Madrid. Or not we, because I wasn't there, but a storm in Madrid where people really weren't used to it, weren't really prepared for big, heavy winter storms. So people, you know, it caused massive shutdowns. So the snow removal is really the challenge and the key. The snow removal, well, managing the cold winters, but also snow removal in terms of making the roads available and safe for people to get around. So in Canada, when it snows, here in my hometown, when it snows, the town, the ayuntamiento, is out within, you know, even while it's still snowing, they're out plowing the roads with the snow plow, right? Which is basically a truck with a big something on the front to push the snow to the sides. And they clear the snow out of the way. And usually within a few hours once the snow stops, within a few hours, the roads are passable. So the problem, I guess, in Spain is that they simply don't have enough plows. They don't have enough of these snow plows in the cities to go out and take care of the roads. So the roads remained covered in snow, and they relied on military plows, I suppose, to obviously they have to prioritize and do the main roads, the highways first, and then they start plowing the city roads afterwards, little by little, right, poco a poco. And it certainly took time. But if you really want to see incredible snow removal, the best place to go is to a Canadian airport, because you will see incredible machines. I remember so many years going to Canada for Christmas, and there often being snow. I'm going back to Madrid, and it's January, so there could be snow. So imagine snow is falling and sitting in the window, being there a little bit early for my flight and spending time looking out the window and watching the snow removal equipment, the plows pushing the snow away. And they have the best equipment at the airports because they have to, they lose a lot of money, right? The airlines lose a lot of money if the planes are grounded. If the planes can't fly, they have to cancel flights and they lose money. So it's in the interest of the airlines to invest in snow removal. Or the airports, I suppose, would be paying for that. But it's in their interest of the business to invest a lot of money in snow removal to ensure that the planes can take off. Snow removal and also de-icing equipment. This is something my uncle used to do at the airport in Ottawa, which is spray this de-icing liquid onto the wings of airplanes to, para quitar el hielo, to remove the ice. De-icing, it's called, and it's a whole process. If you go to a cold city in winter and you go to take off, it's below zero, they will go through a de-icing process. But my uncle quit that job. He left the job. He was getting older, but it was not so comfortable when it's, imagine, 20 degrees below zero and you have to be outside spraying liquid onto an airplane. I guess that gets old fast, as they say. But anyway, Canadian life, folks, dealing with cold and snow and ice, things that we are accustomed to as Canadians. Anyway, I'm going to take a short break because it is time for a quick break. We have to pay the bills here at Vaughan Radio, folks. Time for a short break, but I'll be back in just a few minutes with the third and final half hour of today's show. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Sería genial tener un campamento para mis hijos totalmente en inglés y que encima fuesen campamentos temáticos para que se lo pasaran genial. Caballeros y princesas, Harry Potter, máquinas del tiempo, talent show. Pues si encima no tuviesen que salir de Madrid, ¡buah, eso sería fantástico! Y si además no tuvieran que dormir fuera de casa y pudieran volver el mismo día, ¿tendrán algo así los de Vaughan?
Lo tenemos. Se llama Urban Camps. Llámanos al 91-133-5832 y te lo contaremos todo. 91-133-5832.
Mucha gente nos pregunta si es posible que un método online para aprender inglés funcione de verdad. Hoy en nuestro especial Vaughan Key Points hablamos de este tema con nuestro profesor y director de innovación, Richard Brown.
La clave de nuestro método online es la motivación. Hemos diseñado un curso que realmente engancha en cada nivel, te motiva y reta para que avances de nivel. Pero la verdadera clave son los profesores Vaughan. Su método de enseñanza es lo que realmente nos diferencia. Los cursos online Vaughan cuentan con los mismos profesores apasionados que desde hace más de 40 años nos han hecho diferentes. Descubre las ventajas de nuestro método online probándolo. Así que os invito a entrar en grupovaughan.com y poneros a prueba.
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura 3 meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class, and the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about Trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughn teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at GrupoVaughan.com.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher. How are you doing?
¿Quieres que un profesor Vaughan llame a tus trabajadores? Con horarios flexibles y la posibilidad de cancelar o reservar cualquier sesión dentro de la misma semana. Elige el tema de conversación que tú quieras. Una conversación